So we are still in those 50 days of the Easter season, and it's Earth Day, which doesn't frequently land on a Sunday, by the way, so I was wanting to make some connections between Earth Day and Easter that seem meaningful.
It seems like Easter and World Earth Day are a natural pair, since Easter, from its beginnings, was timed to parallel the spring equinox in pagan practices, celebrating the Earth and her seasons.
Yes, indeed. Often churches use Earth Day to celebrate the incredible beauty of creation while encouraging us to care even more for this fragile planet. They hearken back to Genesis 1:29, clarifying that when God gave humans dominion over the earth, this was not an invitation to exploit it, but instead it was a kind of order to care for it.
So that's an easy link between Earth Day and Easter. There's another one in that we use all those images of spring to describe resurrection.
Yes, we do. The butterflies and the bulbs underground and the eggs and even the abundance of bunnies, although I do get a little confused when we put the bunnies and the eggs together. But it really can be helpful to notice those risings and rebirths in nature as a way of realizing that there are unseen wonders around us all the time, and that some of them truly bring life from death. But this is all stuff we really basically know.
Some Christians say that God's two greatest acts were creation and the resurrection. That links Earth and Easter.
It does. And whether that matches your theology, that God's two greatest acts were creation and resurrection, whether that's a match for you or not, there's not a whole lot more to say about that.
I lost my place. All right, then. Another thing that comes to mind are Earth Day and sermons. I'm aware of that draw from Isaiah and the book of Revelation about God making things new in heaven and on earth.
Oh, yes, a kind of a new creation. One of those would be Isaiah 65:17, when the prophet reports God saying, I'm about to make a new heaven and a new earth.
Yes, and Revelation 21:5, when the one on the throne says, see, I am making all things new.
So I know the kinds of sermons you're talking about there, Bill. They speak of things ending up in a kind of apocalyptic destruction before God makes it all better for the chosen people or for the saved ones. Yeah, well, and you all know I'm not going there, so. Let me tell you what I've been thinking about this week, and we can see if this resonates in some way with Earth Day and the season of Easter. Let's try that.
Go for it.
Well, for the last three Sundays, I've been trying to offer Easter messages that would bring a glimpse of what might be unique in each gospel, because we know each writer had a perspective that they were sharing about who Jesus is, what his life, death, and resurrection means. So this week, I've been trying to match up those various views with wisdom for us about how we might, as followers of Jesus, understand what's happening to our earth and how we might respond. And Bill, you could help me with this idea by giving us a small summary of each gospel as we go along, starting with Mark, the earliest writer. And I want you to remember as we start here that Mark's Easter message was the one that's not so happy.
That's right. In the gospel, according to Mark, a very human Jesus is the Son of God who has come as a final prophet into a pretty wicked world in order to bring the kingdom of God. He is murdered, and his mission is essentially a failure because no one understands and acts, even the women at the tomb. God has raised Jesus from death. The kingdom of God can now only come through destruction. The gospel has a sense of urgency that this destruction is close at hand.
Okay, so if you think at all like I do, here's the parallel message for us. This planet is in trouble because we have been behaving badly. We have failed to listen to those who have come with wisdom and with warnings. We do not understand, we have failed to act, and if we don't heed the warnings soon, we will destroy this planet. I think that's Mark's Easter message for Earth Day.
That's right. It is very clear what we are doing to the planet. So let's move on to the Gospel according to Luke. In this Gospel, Jesus has come to bring the message of the kingdom of God, and this is emphasized as especially good news for the poor and those who struggle most. Jesus is truly a servant. His death is less about salvation and more of a martyrdom, a willingness to sacrifice himself for the cause of helping others. His resurrection is something of a cornerstone that this kingdom is here. It is being built and is unstoppable.
So the main point I pull from this gospel in our topic this morning is the willingness to sacrifice something of yourself for the sake of others. I'm not saying you have to die to prevent climate change, but I am saying we who live in such abundance, with so much convenience, surrounded by disposable everythings, must make some sacrificial changes. And we have to pay attention more to what we do if we are truly following Jesus. Now, if you remember right here a year ago, I gave up disposable plastic straws. A tiny, tiny little thing, but I had thrown out mountains of them in my life. And I can't take full responsibility for major cities like Seattle following suit, but I don't think it's an entire coincidence. Anyway, over this past year, I see so many other ways I contribute to the literal oceans of plastic that cannot be recycled or reused. And that's especially true of packaging. My cloth grocery bags have become completely inadequate. So I'm resolved this year to do my best to push back against unnecessary packaging and see if I can make a small difference. I want to say here that it is embarrassing that one kind of self-sacrifice for me has to do with sacrificing convenience. But it's true. I am spoiled, and perhaps you are. I will also try this year to live a bit more simply in terms of how I use natural resources, driving a little less, things like that, paying attention, trying to diminish my privilege and work a little for a more balanced way of being in this world by global standards. I have miles to go. But Luke's Easter message for Earth Day is one of serving others through sacrificing privilege for the sake of the planet. So there's that one. How about Matthew?
The Gospel according to Matthew, to a great extent, focuses its message on the number of Gentiles who have begun to follow Jesus after his death. In this Gospel, Jesus has been murdered by Jews who were complicit with Roman authority. Jesus' resurrection is God's response to this deed and an opening for the good news of the kingdom of God to be spread to any and all who would receive it. There is a way in which the church is now the risen Christ, conveyor of the message of the kingdom. For those who become part of the church, this is their work.
I hear two important things here for us. First of all, we must work together. I am always glad to share about our church that we are a natural step congregation, meaning we have standards and practices in place about our buildings and our grounds and our efforts to reduce, reuse, and recycle. We do work together as a church. And for some, this work has stretched on our behalf well beyond our doors into our community. The need to work together to care for this planet is crucial and needs to be expansive. The second important thing I hear from Matthew is the importance of sharing the message. Sometimes humans are lazy or disinterested, that is true. But sometimes people honestly don't realize what is at stake. We need to be willing to teach, to share, to be vocal about what we know. So Matthew's Easter message for Earth Day says that we must work together with any who will listen and join in. The work and the message is in our hands together.
The gospel according to John was the last gospel written, and in it Jesus is quite literally one with God, having come down to earth to bring the kingdom of God. This must include him being sacrificed out of love for whomever would believe in him. Jesus is essentially in charge throughout all events, even when suffering and dying, declaring his work finished before his last breath. There will be no second coming of Jesus, since his resurrection is his return, and before he leaves, by breathing on them, he personally empowers his disciples to do as he has done, even forgive others. They embody the kingdom.
You won't hear me often say this, but there is something here I love about John's gospel. This Jesus is leaving his followers with a huge responsibility of continuing to bring forth the kingdom of God. And in that, he's given them the power, the personal power, to do this. Power beyond themselves, power now within themselves. I think John's Easter message for Earth Day is that we have power, power greater than ourselves individually or collectively to turn things around. And we have the power to forgive ourselves and others for our failures in caring for our shared home. We have the power to heal and to do our best to restore our fragile planet. So, Bill, let's just summarize what the gospel writer's Easter messages tell us on this Earth Day 2018.
First of all, if we fail to pay attention, understand, and act, we truly are headed for destruction.
Right. And if we are paying attention, understanding, and acting, it means more and more genuine, personal, ongoing self-sacrifice.
This is work we must do together, in our church and beyond our doors, urging and challenging ourselves to deepen that more self-sacrificing lifestyle while educating ourselves and others, saying what we know.
And even though this seems to be a daunting task beyond the scope of what we can do, we have power, power from God that is beyond and greater than our own to turn things around, to restore and renew the earth. And in doing this for our planet, I think we might discover that we are in fact bringing forth the kingdom of God. Amen.